Welcome to the Horns of Light Chronicles. Peter Berbalis chronicles his family story, prophecy, and testimony. God's story unfolds from his grandfather in Lithuania, Nazi Germany, the Russian Revolution, to Ronald Reagan and the fall of the Berlin Wall, the gospel spreading across to Eastern Europe, how God called Peter to Petra, Jordan, and so much more as prophecy and testimonies unfold. And now the Horns of Light Chronicles. Well, how fun. Today on Horns of Light, we're going to get on the path to Petra, Jordan. And I can tell you that this episode will be worth the time you spend listening to it. Like, it's the story of stories. But I love the fact that I know Pete's heart is this is a story where he was walking with Jesus. And so much more is about that, right, Pete?
Yeah, and just kind of want to emphasize from the very beginning, so many people get caught up in the eschatology and the different views of what that's going to look like, Christ's return and those types of things. And I'm not even saying that these are those times. What I really want to emphasize is just Matthew 25 when it talks about the virgins and having their lampstands full. So as you see these times coming, the importance is, what are you doing with your relationship with Jesus? Where are you with him? Because the last thing we want is for that time to come and for him to say to us, I truly say that I never knew you. We want to know him. And that's the heart kind of this, this what we're going to be talking about. And not to get caught up in necessarily the signs and wonders of this story, but to emphasize knowing Jesus, because that's really what he wants, is to know us and for us to know him as best we can on this side. So we'll kind of get into this story, I guess you could say. Last time we talked about Southern Illinois and the stuff that and the things that were happening there. And that was kind of the foundation of discipleship for my life and that pastor. And so we'll kind of go back to that. In had come back to visit, graduated in 1993, and I believe this was August of 1993. A friend of mine, the guy who took that picture, we went back to Carbondale. He didn't graduate from there. He graduated from the University of Illinois. Anyway, so we just went back to visit right before school started. And as we were visiting there, had a very strange occurrence one of those nights. I had had a dream, and in that dream there was a set of plans, and there was a bunch of lath stakes in the ground, and I was looking at this set of plans, and it was for a road to be built. And I'll never forget that dream. And when I woke up from that dream, my friend sleeping in the bed next to me, he stood up, his torso perpendicular to the bed. He looked at me and said, "Don't ever forget that dream." And then he fell back in the bed and went right back to sleep. So it was just a very strange, strange occurrence. And what's kind of interesting to me now is the job that I have. I'm a surveyor, and the job that I have is strictly dealing with roads and building roads. That's where all my time is spent. I work in the public sector, and that's all that I do. Done a lot of stuff over the years, stadiums and stuff like that, as far as surveying goes. But now it seems like it's that time. And to kind of set this up a little bit more. In 2006, had kind of gone through a devastating experience with the church where a pastor fell. And so from 2000, and that kind of put me into a 12-year desert from 2006 to 2018. And just some tremendous pain, a lot of brokenness, a lot of family turmoil, and just difficult days. Not saying every day was that difficult, but just, you know, good times, but the most painful time of my life, or the most painful events of my life, I'd say, would have occurred during that 12-year period. 2018, a friend a close friend dies of cancer, and that his death is kind of the marking point. And I can't describe this in any other way other than to say it was like stepping into the ordered steps of God for my life. Nothing that I did, it was just, you just, things were different, and things started to pick up. And kind of the best way that I could describe this is it's almost like walking at times in the middle of, if you've been to like Texas or something, those dust whirlwinds that kick up every now and then. And it's kind of like walking in those, and there's bits of information flying around in those whirlwinds, and you're picking pieces of a puzzle and trying to assemble it from this swirl of information that comes at you. And that's really different from the way that I process information. I kind of am step-by-step type of person in the work that I do. It's figuring out a system to approach a problem. So it's different. I'll just leave it at that. So in January of 2019, then, that same friend who took the picture from, you know, we've been lifelong friends, he calls me up and says, you really need to get a hold of Pastor Dale down in Carbondale. You need to get in touch with him. And I'm like, I haven't talked to him in, you know, decades. I don't even know how to talk, you know, get in touch with him. So, but he just kind of emphasizes that. So I try to reach out to this college, see if he's still there. He's up in northern part of Illinois, which is where we were living in the time. So through Meals Connect and, you know, just he's willing to meet me at a shopping mall and just kind of sit and catch up as to what's going on in life. So we meet him. It was a very cold day. I remember that. And we just start to talk for several hours. And it was one of those moments that, you know, hours fly by and it seems like minutes kind of thing. And we get to the point in time and he's like, the mall's getting ready to close. We got to get out of here. So he pulls out a vial of oil and he just says, let me pray for you. And so my wife is there and we can kind of get into the dynamics of that. It really begins a period of restoration in my wife and I. And just a drawing back closer together after going through this 12-year desert time of difficulty. So he anoints me with oil and says a prayer, and we drive home. And my wife is scheduled for surgery, I believe, that following day at Northwestern down in the city. And I wake up that morning. I fell asleep on the couch downstairs, and I just wake up screaming, the oil, and not really fully understanding what was going on. But I could not really move very well. And I just remember thinking, Lord, help me get to the bathroom. It was just a very strange experience. I didn't fully understand it. My wife had to cancel her surgery. I went down to the basement and just kind of fell to the ground and couldn't get up. And the Lord just asked me to intercede for the situation, the pastor in that situation that had happened 12 years ago. And after interceding for him, I really felt, the Lord kind of unveil and say, now here's your reward. And that was Jonah 2. And I really was under the impression that these Jonah 2 was a passage that prophetically spoke about Christ's thoughts as he was dying on the cross. It talks about kind of his head wrapped in seaweed and the descending and I will pay what I have vowed. And it was just an interesting perspective on that chapter that was really beautiful and personal to me. Nonetheless, that was not an easy situation for my wife to understand. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what was going on. A few months later, she had a similar experience that kind of helped us to kind of understand each other, or for her to understand what I had gone through that day. And it was just very different. So then that's 2018, my friend had died. So that's 2019. So then fall asleep one evening. And at that time, I would still partake in wine. And I am not an advocate of that. Since then, the Lord had spoken to me and said, no more wine until that day, that the marriage supper of the Lamb, I believe it's, can't remember if it's Isaiah or Jeremiah, but it talks about the finest of wines and the choicest of meats. And he made it clear that I was to abstain from alcohol for the rest of my life from that point. So went to sleep that evening and had a glass of wine. This had not happened yet as far as abstaining, and spilled it all over our white carpet. And that kind of brought up to me, well, we'll get into that. But so that happened. My wife was upset, obviously, about that. And she comes up and kind of cleans that up. And then I go to sleep. And at that time, I would let the Bible play through the night often as I went to sleep. And it kind of set that up and went to sleep. And then the passage that I woke up, and it talked about there's strong drink. I believe that's Micah 2:11. It mentions that and mentions wine in particular. And so then I just knew that what was about to come was very significant and from the Lord. The best way that I could describe it was that as these verses played, Micah 2:12 and 13, it was like a highlighter going across these words, and that this was significant. I didn't understand why, but I just knew that this was significant. And you could look up that passage and read it, but it talks about the breaker, breaking in and breaking through. And so then a couple weeks later, we were visiting our daughter, and it's kind of strange because later on, we found out that your daughter went to the same college, Samford University, and that you were there at that same weekend, I believe. It was a parents' weekend for my daughter's sorority. And I woke up that morning, and the Lord, I felt, that voice, that prompting, say, why haven't you looked up Micah 2:12 and 13? So I looked that up and started looking into it. And came across an article by a guy by the name of Arnold Fruchtenbaum. He's a Messianic Jewish believer. He wrote in that article, he described Micah 2:12 and 13 as being Petra Jordan, a place prepared in the wilderness for the Jewish people in a time of Jacob's trouble, where they come to the acknowledgement of Christ as their Savior. That kind of leads to the return of Christ and the salvation of Israel. And once again, I'm not trying to set times or anything along those lines. I'm just trying to encourage people to know Jesus, because these are definitely different times that we're in, as one can obviously see with what's going on with Iran and Israel right now as we speak. We're driving. I'm kind of perplexed, and at the end of that, looking into Micah 2:12 and 13, I really feel the Lord say that I want you to go pray in Petra Jordan. And that was something that was very troublesome to me, because I had no idea even how to get to Petra Jordan. Knew a little bit about Jordan being a Muslim nation, and how would I even go there? And just all these things are flooding my mind, and I'm perplexed. And my wife notices that morning, and she says, what's going on with you? Why are you so different? And I told her everything that happened, and she, kind of said, because she felt I would be going to Israel that year, and I didn't necessarily think that or believe that. That just brought about unity between us. So from there, I called up my friend and said, hey, I really think that we're supposed to go pray in Petra Jordan, and you're supposed to come with me. And he asked me a couple times to repeat how I arrived at this And I told him, and he kind of was like, "You're nuts." And you know, we hung up, and that was really it. And then a couple weeks later, maybe a week days, I don't remember now, he called me up and said, I'm in, let's do this." So we got together in the summer and kind of planned out our trip. And it was just, so we planned it out for the fall, and we ended up landing in Israel over the Feast of Tabernacles. And there's a lot of stories related to that, but I'll stick to this one of Petra Jordan. So after being there and just having a lot of just every day, it was kind of a divine encounter would happen, and there'd be more.
I hate to jump in right at this point, but actually it's a pretty good place. We told you it was the path to Petra Jordan, but oh my goodness, you know what's coming actually as we get to Petra Jordan. And so thank you, Pete, for another exciting episode. I can hardly wait to get to the next one.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless.